Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah, like all the prophets, was the representative of both God and of the people. And their experiences in life very much looked forward to their experiences that they experienced on behalf of God. For example, Ezekiel's wife dies and he's told, "Don't mourn. Of course, you're going to be sad, but restrain your outward mourning." That's how God feels. He is not showing his emotions about the loss of the temple, but inwardly he is mourning. Hosea is told to go and marry a prostitute, Gomer, to represent the love of God to a very wayward Israel. So here, Jeremiah 17, verse 14, "Heal me, O Yahweh, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved." I wonder if Jeremiah was terminally ill at this point, but he was saved. Why I say that is because when he says, "Heal me, and I shall be healed," he's using the same word that's used repeatedly of how the sickness of Judah was incurable. Same word, Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah 30, Micah 1. The sickness of Judah could not be healed. They had gone, apparently, too far. It was only by God's amazing and sort of paradoxical grace that the incurable could be cured. And so Jeremiah had the faith and the vision to believe that that was possible. And he says, "Because you are my praise, whether or not this shall happen, I will praise you." So God's grace is like that. So many times God has said, "Look, you know, here's the condition. You've broken the condition, so you must die." And that is fair enough. The wages of sin is death. Judah had broken the covenant, and there were consequences to that which they were aware of when they first accepted the covenant. You can read them in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. They were to come upon them, and yet Jeremiah is pleading that those judgments will not come. So he realizes that although we must accept that the wages of sin is death and that we are sinners, yet God finds a way by his grace, all the same, because he is passionate about saving us. Now, in that context, let's look at verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt." Well, exceedingly corrupt. This is the very same phrase that is used about the wound of Judah that is incurable in Jeremiah 15, verse 18. So I think this verse is a description of the state of Judah's heart. It was deceitful, totally deceitful, in the sense that they were trying to deceive God, saying, "We are loyal to you," whilst they were, as it were, going off with all sorts of other lovers. And it is incurably, exceedingly corrupt, just as the wound of Judah was incurable. It was an incurable wound, it was an exceeding wound, and so here their heart was incurably, exceedingly corrupt. And yet he is asking, Jeremiah is asking, to be healed, and for them to be healed. So I don't think that this verse is stating an overall truth about human nature, that the human mind is deceitful and is incurably corrupt. Why I say that is because God can change and transform human minds and hearts and human life. And we see that in the Bible, and you see that in the lives of transformed people in the body of Christ. I also can't believe that our mind is incurably corrupt. And in other words, you cannot change. This is an excessively low view of human nature, as if to say sin is inevitable, your heart is just incurable, you can't do anything about it. Well, how then can we take all these exhortations about having a renewed heart and a cleansed heart? And unfortunately, this very low view of human nature, this idea that we are innately sinful, that there is something in the human heart that is wicked and can't be changed, your whole body is full of sin, almost to the point that, you know, you cut a guy's finger off or cut your own finger off, put it on a table, and you're supposed to think, "Ugh, sin. It's full of sin." No. Why I say this is because all that you posit about human nature, you posit about the nature of the Lord Jesus. He had human nature absolutely and totally. And yet he was holy, harmless, undefiled, according to Hebrews. He was perfect. He was spotless in moral terms. This is the whole point, that he did not sin. He was completely pleasing to God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, God said at his baptism. So it is not so that just because you're human, you must sin. And I have to say I've seen a connection between people who believe that and people who tend to get stuck in a rut of sin. I have talked to brethren who I knew fairly well about the fact they've had an affair or are having an affair, or that they are involved in various behaviour that is clearly sinful. And I have heard this verse quoted, to as if to say to me, look, Duncan, you know, we're all inevitable sinners, look, that's the nature of the beast, this is how we are. No, this is not how we are. You are not inescapably, incurably corrupt in your mind, and therefore you must inevitably sin, because sin comes from the heart. This is the whole point. God judges hearts. That's the very common teaching of the Bible. Well, if your heart by nature is somehow incurably wicked and you can do anything about it, well, then we are all damned, I suppose. And neither could Jesus then have had human nature in that case. So, what does this mean? Well, I think, as I say, you've got to connect it to what we just read in verse 14. Heal me and I will be healed. But the wound of Judah was not healable. It was incurable. And the heart of Judah was full of deceit, of unfaithfulness, of lying to God, dishonesty, and incurably corrupt. But just as Jeremiah was praying to be cured of his apparently incurable illness, and just as God was willing to cure Judah, so he is willing to do what seems to be the impossible, to change human hearts. Sometimes you meet people and you think, look, the guy is so far gone. His mind is corrupted with whatever, with wrong ideas, with bitterness, with pornography, with whatever it might be. The guy has fed himself all his life. It seems the person is just incurable. The person is absolutely hooked on a certain drug or alcohol or whatever. It just seems impossible to change. But this is the point, that God can, and he does. And the offer to Judah at this time, as we'll see later in Jeremiah, was of a new covenant, where God would write his law on their hearts, where God would do an operation right on their heart by his Spirit. And this is the same new covenant that is offered to us. We may think that my mind is just hopeless, I'm just all over the place, always thinking bad things. No, you can be changed. This is the power of God's Spirit. In verse 10 we read, I, Yahweh, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give every man according to his works, according to the fruit of his doings. So he's saying there that your heart and your works or your doings are the same. Of course, those words, to give every man according to his works, are quoted at the end of Revelation. We're told that Jesus is coming quickly to give every man according to his works. And as it says here, because God searches the heart. So there is a direct connection between the heart and works or doings, and we shall be judged accordingly, and God is searching that out. He's searching our heart, our innermost motives, what are our true focuses, etc. Now, if the human heart is just incurably corrupted, and you can do anything about it, it's what you're born with. Well, I don't see the justice of that. I don't see the point then. Well, we are all condemned. No, this thing about the heart is deceitful. It is exceedingly corrupt. It is incurably corrupt. Well, yeah, this is a description of Judah's heart as it was then. But God can change people. And God can change very, very corrupted hearts and minds. There's plenty of witness of this. People who have lived in a totally corrupted psychological spiritual way for decades, testify, and you can see in their lives real change, which could only have been mediated, I suggest, by God, by his spirit, which is his mind, because the spirit is the mind power. It's a very wide range of meaning in the word. But the idea is that God's spirit can work on our spirit so that our spirit is incorporated into his, our mind, your heart, your mind. Change, mental change, is really possible. Even when people have got themselves to a point like Judah did, where it seems that it is incurable.